If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need, your host, and today I have a phenomenal show for you. I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Dane Dormio. Dane has been able to help people who are burnt out and exhausted, scatterbrained and feeling sluggish, and he's created the mind-body mastery to help individuals with specifically for that. Dane began his martial arts journey at age 10 and has been practicing and teaching internal martial arts since 2002. The same year, he had a spiritual awakening and discovered the Tai Chi Chuan. His academic background is in math and physics, and his professional experience includes education and coaching. Dane, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Lou Need. I am really happy to be here, and I'm grateful to you.
Yes, thank you for coming on. I am excited to hear about your journey, your background, and your approach to holistic healing that that mind body mastery provides. So, and then we'll talk about your morning routine at the end, of course.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and tell us about your background and how did mind body mastery come about?
Well, mind body mastery is my term for a range of principles and skills that it sort of turns out this is what my whole life has been preparing me for. Mm-hmm. What it comes down to is the source of your success is you. So whatever visions you have for achieving in the world have to be supported by robust self-care and personal development habits. And that's what mind-body mastery is about.
Okay, so it's an approach to healing. It's an approach to growth and development.
Yeah, you could say both of those things. Healing and growth and development are very closely related because it's the same set of practices and skills that bring both about. So if you're suffering with some kind of health challenges, the same tools that will bring you into wellness are the same tools that if you are in wellness and you want to grow and develop your capacities as a human being, it's the same skills and tools.
So, okay. I like this because it's an enlightenment of some sort.
Depending on what you mean by that. Yeah. At least it certainly could happen.
What are some of the daily mind body practices?
That's a great question because there's actually a whole framework of daily habits that support and sustain mind body mastery, and habit formation is obviously very central. And the main thing that I recommend for virtually everybody who's not already doing it is a personal daily mind-body practice, what I call an energetic hygiene practice. And this is a complete and balanced personal daily mind-body practice involves the three major components of breath work, exercise, and meditation, or as I refer to them, move, breathe, and contemplate. And there's a framework. So there's things like regular meals at regular times, exercising at the right amount at regular consistent times, getting the right food, getting going to sleep and waking up at consistent times, and things like journaling, logbooking, education, learning from books, that sort of thing, as well as physical skill development. These are all kinds of things that are ideally we all really need to be having every day as part of our regular routines. It's kind of like vitamins. If you aren't getting enough vitamins, you won't die right away, but your health will suffer if you have a vitamin deficiency. And similarly, most right. people are deprived of these things that are actually not luxuries, but they're necessities. So a lot of people are shooting on themselves about wanting to exercise. You know, I should be exercising more. I'd like to be moving more. Or about meditating. I should be meditating. I want to be meditating. I want to establish daily meditation practice. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And the reason they want these things are kind of similar. They often have to do with health, wellness, and longevity, or they have to do with stress reduction, or they have to do with physical fitness and performance enhancement. And what I say is, everybody who's not, if you're not exercising at all, yeah, start exercising. That's great. If you don't already have a meditation habit, that's a great thing to start. But what everybody really needs, if they don't already have one, is a personal daily mind-body practice that incorporates exercise, meditation, and breath work into a single activity. And it doesn't really have to take that long, 15 to 20 minutes a day. I mean, it doesn't have to take longer than, you know, taking a bath or brushing your teeth or some mm-hmm. of the regular things that we just automatically do every day or on a regular, consistent basis without thinking.
Yeah, this is right in alignment with having a healthy or robust morning routine, because it sets you up for performance. It sets you up to prime your day and to be at your best so that you are ready to for whatever the day brings your way. So I really like your notion. And you mentioned that people have the desire to work out. They have the desire to meditate, especially being the beginning yes, of the year, yeah. right? That what do you think stops people from taking these necessary steps for optimal health?
Well, that's a great question. It's really looking at the phenomenon that I was describing of people shooting on themselves and needing yeah. around to it. You know, I wanted to do this. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And I actually find it more useful, rather than looking at what stops people or what's in the way, I look at it from an engineering perspective of what are the required elements for habit formation, or what are the components of motivation. And looking at it from that perspective, it's really pretty simple. You can kind of predict if a habit is going to stick or not. And there's actually well researched psychology or science behind the psychology of habit formation. But a very simple framework I use is motivation of any kind consists of three components, which are internal necessity, social support, and environmental support. So if, say, you want to do something that is hard, it requires a certain amount of willpower or discipline, whether it's doing something once or whether it's establishing a habit, it starts with the internal necessity. The internal necessity is your sense that it's a personal must, that it's something you actually want to do. And it has to start with that. If that's not in place, of course, it's not going to happen. But internal necessity is the source of willpower, but willpower is finite, and willpower enough is not alone to ensure lasting change. So the internal necessity is what will get you started, or will get you to take the steps to implement a new habit to begin with. But in order to sustain it, you have to have the social support system and the environmental support system, i.e. the social support system is other people who believe in you and support you and are counting on you. And the ways that other people that we interact with influence us. And environmental support system is everything outside of you that's not other people. So elements of your physical environment, your personal system, things like systems and reminders and habit managers and these sorts of things that environmental cues that trigger our behavior. So deciding that you want to have a great morning routine, for example, is the first step. But in order to actually install that habit, you have to have the social and environmental support factors in place to reinforce it so that it's a natural sort of automatic behavior for you and you're going with the flow of your natural inclinations rather than against them.
So that framework is necessary because habits, they form, they emerge without our permission. If you are used to doing something, you've identified a cue, that becomes habitual without even you recognizing.
Yeah, exactly. We're forming habits all the time, whether consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah, and your framework reminds me of the one from the book called, what is it, Power of Habits?
Charles Duhigg.
Yes, I read that about a month ago, and I thought it was pretty phenomenal in breaking it down of how habits emerge without our permission, but also the three different points, cues that habits, the way the habit forms and that the way it gets to stick and then the way you can actually change a habit.
Yeah, I love that book as well as the work of BJ Fogg. He's also one of my favorite habit scientists. Mm-hmm. And James Clear's Atomic Habits is also an awesome book on that topic.
Yeah, thank you because I love reading about habit and the formation of habit because it really, I'm in the business of helping people change their habits for the better.
It's making the decision that you want to start doing something is the first step, but to kind of ensure that it actually happens, there's a number of very important steps that have to take place following from that. And also something that I think is important to mention in relation to going back to your question about what gets in the way is that I'll say willpower is overrated in the sense that it's not about having a lot of willpower. It's about making it very, very easy for yourself. And with habits in general, but especially with the specific types of things we were talking about, like exercise and meditation, a lot of people have the impression that I've got to do this thing that's really hard. Like I've got to sit for an hour without moving or thinking, you know, or twice
yeah,
a day, or
yeah,
or you know, if to get any benefit from exercise, you've got to burn yourself out and you've got to work to exhaustion and that sort of thing. And the principle that I follow is the non-exertion principle, meaning make it easy on yourself, especially in the beginning. I think it's BJ Fogg who talks about if you want to establish a flossing habit, first just floss one tooth. Don't even tell yourself you have to do all of it. Just floss.
That's funny.
It's assuming you already have the brushing habit installed. You know, if you're already brushing your teeth every day and you want to start flossing, then whenever you brush your teeth, just floss one tooth. And do that consistently over time, and eventually you'll just start doing the whole thing. But making it easy for yourself so that you can establish the consistency is really, really important in the beginning. And that's why I teach for if you're not doing anything, or if you don't have a complete mind body practice and you want to establish one, just setting aside 15 minutes a day is really all it takes, and make it something that's very easy for you to do. That's not only easy for you to do, but that's actually enjoyable and you can look forward to it, so that it becomes a pull process rather than a push process. Like tasting a little piece of a dessert and you go, that tastes good. I think I'll have a little bit more. And you're using your natural desire to keep going rather than burning the fuel of willpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because willpower is not at your will, right? I read the book, the one thing, my goodness, the one thing, and it talks about willpower is not at your will. So as you said, it is, it's not infinite. And you wake up, when you wake up in the morning, you have the best willpower. So that's why it's beneficial to actually tackle the hardest things the first thing in the morning, like taking care of yourself, getting it out the way, doing the meditation. That way it sets you the tone for the rest of the day. And it increases your willpower for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Your framework, I like it because it encompasses having social support, because you think about like who are you becoming, right? Because you have to start changing your environment so that it suits the habit you're trying to ingrain. The people that around you needs to actually be supportive of that. And that's why it's always said to have masterminds, people who think alike around you, to actually help start meditating with someone, as I would say, right? Start exercising with someone, get an exercise buddy, a buddy to help you move, so that it's a lot easier than doing it yourself. You have that sense of accountability.
Yeah, because other people are a huge motivation, a huge factor motivating our behavior. And speaking of willpower, you know, if you're going against the crowd, in whatever sense, whether it's you know, you want to exercise, but all your friends at work are the kind that want to just, you know, hit the bar at 5 p.m. It's going to take a lot of willpower to swim against the stream of the behavior of people that you surround yourself with. So it's extremely important.
What is a session with your clients look like, Dane?
Well, in terms of mind-body mastery coaching, what that involves is looking at the big picture of your life as a whole and your highest vision, the ideal best case scenario that you can imagine for your life, and fleshing that out in as much detail as possible, and then reverse engineering time from the future to the present to create a detailed plan, and then building a solid foundation up of habits and actions so that your vision meets in the middle. In other words, plan your work and work your plan based on using the four tools of visioneering, strategizing, and habit formation, as well as belief change, which is debugging the mental operating system, identifying and removing limiting beliefs.
How do you help with debugging and removing those old beliefs that don't suit the client any longer?
Well, there are, I love that question. There's a lot of ways to go about, a lot of approaches to this. Things like theta states, for example, things like hypnosis and hypnotherapy are one type of approach. NLP is a certain type of approach. The approach that I use is largely cognitive and cerebral. It sort of uses the power of the logical reasoning faculty along with disassociation to examine your own behavior rationally and objectively. Examine your own behavior triggers rationally and objectively, and just look at yourself and your life, and using a certain set of criteria to identify where limiting beliefs are operating, and then figure out what they are. And awareness is huge, because you can't consciously change something that you're not consciously aware of. But once you become consciously aware of it, then you have the ability to consciously change it and choose differently. So identifying where the limiting beliefs are, identifying what they are, identifying more effective beliefs to replace them with, and then going through the process of installing, uninstalling the old beliefs and installing the new ones.
Mm-hmm. So it's reframing your mind and your thinking, right? As you were talking, what I'm hearing and what comes to mind is actually a simple example is if you have a negative thought, you make sure you have an affirmation to actually combat that. So the minute that it happens, you speak something positive into it.
Yeah, much like with habits, actually, you can't stop doing a habit. You can only replace it with a new habit. Beliefs are habits of thought. The belief is just a thought you think over and over again, and a thought has consequences in terms of how you feel, your emotional state, your energy. So you can't just stop thinking a habitual thought. You have to replace it with a new habitual thought. And when you identify the beliefs that are causing undesirable consequences, then you have to replace those with beliefs that will have more desirable consequences.
Well put. I really like the way you stated that. Beliefs are habits of thought. It's like, yeah. That hits it right on the nail. Well said. I really like that. So I want to talk about your nonprofit, because you are doing something spectacular here, serving veterans and at-risk youth. And in underserved populations, this mind-body practice. Tell us about that. What drove you to that?
Well, part of my mission on this planet is to help more people to establish a personal mind-body practice, a personal daily mind-body practice. I believe that this is a very, very key contribution to the phase shift that we're undergoing collectively right now as a species. So this is important for our individual and our collective transformation and evolution. And there are things that we do, that I do to reach as many people as possible, whoever wants to establish these kind of practices. It's my mission to make the tools and the knowledge and the guidance available. Because another big reason that people don't get started is because they're not sure where to start, or it's so complicated. Where do I get started learning about it? And so my intention is to make it easy and accessible for anybody who wants to get started with any level of experience.
Mm. Truly a servant leader you are, to provide such great service. It's really great stuff. So I want to, right now, let's talk about how do you get up, dress up, and show up. What's your morning routine like?
Well, I actually have, for my morning ritual, I have a 13-point checklist, and on a typical day, I usually do about 11 of them. But there are two things that I'll say are most significant. One is piloting, and the other is my personal mind-body practice. And it's hard to say which one is more important, because personally, I consider them both essential. Like I just don't let myself skip either one of these things. And the logbooking or piloting practice is just what I call logbooking or keeping a written record of some kind. There are certain things that I monitor on a daily basis, and through keeping a written record, some people might think of it as journaling. And then also looking at setting clear intentions for the day ahead. So looking at being intentional about how I'm spending my time for the day. And I have a process that I go through with my logbooks every morning, that if I don't do anything else, I do that. And the other thing that's huge and essential, of course, is your personal daily mind-body practice. And to keep it simple, just think of that as consisting of the three major components of move, breathe, and contemplate. Yeah. So quiet time of some kind. If meditation scares you, just think of it as quiet time, focusing on your breath, focusing on your internal awareness and some kind of conscious movement. It doesn't have to be vigorous. It could be exercise, or it could just be gentle movement and stretching of some kind. If you're not doing this already, start doing this. And this is kind of the central most important thing. I mean, you can take supplements and you can do cold exposure and, you know, all these things that are really cool. But if you're not, but the basics need to come first. That's the low hanging fruit. That's where you'll get the most benefit.
I love that. And so you go through 13 items you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. My personal morning ritual checklist has 13 things on it.
I haven't heard anyone that put a number to it, because I too have a list of 9 items that I go through, and, meditation is one of them. Exercise is another, and, breathing and just being calming the mind, and visualization, of course, journaling. For you, it's logging, getting a clear intention of what your goals and plans are for the day. It really helps guiding you. It really helps with direction throughout the day.
Yeah, that's why that's something that I don't skip anymore, because any more than I would skip brushing my teeth, you know, it just feels gross.
Yeah. Dane, tell us, how can we connect with you?
Well, the best way to connect with me is on Facebook. If you're interested in coaching, just reach out to me through my Facebook profile and make friends. And I also created a thing called the 7-Day Qigong Non-Challenge. It's a group on Facebook, and Qigong is what I teach as I recommend it as the ideal personal daily mind-body practice for pretty much everyone, because Qigong comes from traditional Chinese medicine. It's one of the 3 primary branches. It just means energy work or solo energy cultivation, and it's a form of gentle exercise, breath work, and moving meditation that the process I designed takes 15 to 20 minutes. There's a series of 7 videos designed to watch one a day and just follow along. No previous experience is required. There's nothing to memorize. And it's designed to be so easy that there can be no excuse not to do it. That's why it's called the 7-Day Qigong Non-Challenge on Facebook. So if you've been wanting to start a daily meditation practice, but you find it hard to sit still, guess what? You don't have to. If you've been wanting to start exercising, but you feel like you don't have the energy or the time, guess what? It's just 15 minutes. It's so easy. Anybody can do it. And there's a group there for accountability and support. So anybody who wants to establish a personal daily mind-body practice for themselves, that is my offering to help them do that.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Dane. Let me do a brief recap for our listeners. The mind-body framework, the daily habits, you put it, breathe, move, and contemplate. And that's essentially do some breathing work, following your breath, doing some meditation, calming down the mind, quiet down the noises, the thoughts that are flowing, and of course, exercising and getting the blood flow going to actually give you that energy you need throughout your day. Dane, I really like what you said about that beliefs or habits of thought. And if we want to change our that habit, we need to be ready to replace it with a better one, with better frame of thoughts, with better beliefs and new ones that fit the growth that we are seeking. Dane, I thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Luneet. It has certainly been a pleasure for me, and I thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.